Wicca, paganism, shamanism. What do these ideas mean to you? Did you know that a lot of controversial views on these topics are based upon misconceptions? Welcome to Spiritually Speaking, Ancient Wisdom for Modern Needs with Lady Redhawk, a.k.a. Susie Peltier. We will explain these practices in depth and provide new opportunities and perspectives to change your life. Now, here is Lady Redhawk.
Hail and welcome, everyone. I'm Lady Redhawk, and this is Spiritually Speaking, Ancient Wisdom for Modern Needs. Today's show is Modern Alchemy, Permaculture at Work, and my special guest is Willie Paul. Today, I'm really excited about this topic because it really brings home how important the ancient wisdom is for our modern needs. It talks about relevant action oriented spirituality. So saving Mother Nature has also always been a core value in the craft, but never before have the stakes been so high and the time running so short to tip the scales in both consciousness and practices. The answer is permaculture. In this show, we will chat with Willie Paul, a tireless advocate, online author, publisher, and educator on topics of sustainability, job creation, innovations, and new mythologies needed for this new epoch. But before we meet Willie, I'd like to say that while there are many traditions in Wicca, like denominations in Christianity, and these traditions vary widely in their perspectives and practices, we agree on two points. Wicca is a nature worship, and it has nothing to do with the devil. There is no devil in Wicca. Also, because the traditions vary so widely, I'm not pretending to speak for all Wiccans, witches, or shamans. I'm presenting my perspective on Wicca and a tradition that I developed over 20 years called Taoist Wicca. Taoist Wicca is a spiritual coaching system as well as a spiritual practice. If you have any questions, you want to call into the show, that number is 1-866-472-5795 or email me at info@susiepeltier.com. That said, I'd like to introduce Willie Paul. Hi, Willie.
Good afternoon, Susie. It's nice to be here.
Yeah, it's great to have you. Willie is a green certified business and sustainability consultant. He launched PlanetShifter.com magazine on Earth Day of 2009 to create a database of interviews and articles about innovation, sustainability, and mythic arts. His bliss renewed in 2011. He designed OpenMythSource.com, and I believe that's the one that you have an interview series of me talking about Taoist Wicca.
Yes, your video interview, yes.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you for the opportunity. So the reason for that website is to produce new mythic stories with modern alchemies, and we'll find out a little bit more what he means by that as the show goes on. His work focuses on what is sacred to us, community building, power of permaculture, and the transformative energy in the new alchemy and global mythologies. His online course, sacredpermaculture.net, is offered to all at no charge. He also has cutting-edge articles at the Joseph Campbell Foundation and a number of pioneer videos on YouTube, and has founded the Permaculture Guild of San Mateo County. So welcome, Willie.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yikes.
It's a lot when you read it like that, huh?
Yeah, who is that guy?
You've been a busy boy. Yeah, Willie also interviewed Starhawk, and for those of you who might not be familiar with who that is, she is one of the eminent Wiccan authors of our time and is a major leader in spiritual activism as well as permaculture. And he has an article on his Planet Shifter website entitled Starhawk, Community, Permaculture, and the Sacred Seeds. So with that, what's permaculture?
Permaculture is highly varied and is defined by different folks in different ways. Some will stick to a straight science, sort of a science-based land design definition, growing food, getting away from chemicals, getting back to the land. Others will define permaculture in sacred terms as new stories emerge about our survival past the crash. And then there's me. I would tend to blend both science and myth, both science and the sacred, to start a new spirituality based in sustainability. So what is permaculture? It is storing energy, using renewable resources, producing no waste. Lots of good things that we're starting to do on the planet now. And so it's a hopeful next step in the transition movement.
As we transition away from consumer-based culture, is that what you mean?
Correct, right.
Okay. Okay. And now we've seen a couple of times in the United States history where the conservation movement, as it was called, was in its renaissance when Teddy Roosevelt set aside the national park system and the Earth First movement in the 60s. How does permaculture differ from those movements, and how is it similar?
Well, we're in an age where many are not following the dangers of climate change. So we're in a very paradoxical problem there. There's a lot of religion and a lot of corporate bias against continued conservation efforts. How permaculture relates is that it's operated from a local point of view, a local garden, a local community effort, and it kind of dismantles the corporate food system and hopes to provide local sources of food for local people. Again, that portends some sort of major change that's coming in our culture, so we can find healthy ways to land after that crash.
Mm-hmm. So do you see that that crash as being inevitable?
I do, and that's partly why I write New Myth, because I want to get beyond that crash and show people how it might look and how it might work and how we can get into a new era after capitalism hits the floor. It's important to deal with it straight on.
Mm-hmm. So when you asked Starhawk about the connection between permaculture and spirituality, she answered, "For me, permaculture manifests as sacred activity from pagan practice. Our spirits are alive and intelligent. So I started to learn and practice permaculture and teaching it to others." So how would you describe the connection between permaculture and spirituality, Willie?
Well, because permaculture addresses nature and ties our actions and philosophies and tactics to nature, it's something that has to have a spiritual or sacred component. And that's why I talk about the three different types of definitions. It needs to have a spirituality. We need to start looking at Mother Nature as a super source, a spiritual source, and not just a place to dump our junk and to withdraw resources.
Mm-hmm.
So that sort of ethic is something I'm promoting, and hopefully we'll get past the crash and get this new nature-based spirituality in place. That's the goal.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I saw a very interesting article on the Weather Channel yesterday, and it was actually about a place called Frisco, Texas, where they are in the middle of a moderate drought, and the water company is taking a unique approach. They're looking at people's meters And they're trying to find the culprits of, you know, the people who are watering their lawns at noon and so forth. And they're sending out letters that recommend the amount, the scientifically known amount of water that would be necessary to sustain their lawns, and then a breakdown of how they are overspending their quotient, and then offering people to come out to inspect their irrigation systems and so forth for leakages and so forth. So I was very encouraged by that, because Texas is a pretty red state. And one would think, you know, there's in the heart of the arena that tends to like to deny that there's a global climate crisis going on, and yet they're doing something at the local level, which I thought was really something very innovative for thinking ahead in terms of what can we do for conservation that doesn't immediately slap people on the wrist. So we're going to be right back. If I want to thank all of you for listening in and telling your friends. I've received the stats on the show, and we're knocking it out of the park, so thank you so much. Because the show is doing so well, we have some great opportunities for sponsorship and guests opportunities available. So if you're interested, please send me your info at info@susiepelletier.com. Willie and I will be right back.
The Voice America Seventh Wave Channel.
Susie Pelletier, Lady Red Hawk, offers private sessions of massage therapy, hypnotherapy, spiritual consultations, Reiki sessions, and trainings in San Francisco, California. She is available for in-person lectures as well as webcasts on a variety of topics such as stress management, holism, motivational speaking, and developing personal spirituality. Susie can also personalize a healing session or a spiritual consultation for you through Skype or by phone using hypnotherapy and distance sessions of Reiki. Susie is a reverend with the Universal Life Church and a third-degree Wiccan priestess performing interfaith pastoral duties such as hospice and family counseling, in addition to a variety of personalized rites such as weddings, house clearings, and memorials. Susie is currently taking applications for students in Wicca and offers circle trainings as well as priest and priestess initiation study programs. To find out more about Susie as a healer, teacher, and priestess, visit her website, www.susiepelletier.com. Email her at info@susiepelletier.com or visit the Facebook page to find out more about Taoist Wicca.
The Voice America Seventh Wave Channel. Be extraordinary. Be the change.
You are listening to Spiritually Speaking, Ancient Wisdom for Modern Needs with Lady Red Hawk. We would love to hear from you. If you have a question or comment about this week's program, please call 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. You may also send an email to info@susiepelletier.com. Now, back to Spiritually Speaking.
So I'm here with Willie Paul, and we're talking about permaculture. And just before the break, we had a conversation about a little place called Frisco, Texas, where they're addressing a moderate drought in some rather forward-thinking ways. And Willie had a comment about that. So what's your thought?
Yeah, the permaculturist would look at it maybe in two ways. One is to take the lawns out, eliminating the need for the water, putting in drought-tolerant plants, or putting in some food forests, actually growing food and using the water budget to produce food. So, mm-hmm. you know, you can have your golf courses in your front lawns if you want, but that's part of the problem. We need to find solutions to those things.
Mm-hmm. Well, ways that meet the need for the green aesthetic and yet serve another purpose as well.
Yes, correct.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Great.
Good.
Well, what I can gather from the adverts of this new film, The Lorax, that is going to be opening on Friday, is that it's about a character that speaks for the trees, and the heroes go in search of a real tree. And this strikes me as an excellent example of creating a myth to fit the time and changing or awakening cultural values. Of course, if you want to change the values of a culture, you do address the children. It makes perfect sense in so many ways. I know nobody's had a chance to see it because it comes out this Friday, but just off the top of your head, does this fit the criteria for the new myths for this permaculture age?
Well, I'm biased. There's really nobody else writing a new myth for the permaculture age except for me.
Oh, okay.
The Lorax strikes me as a sort of Disney-esque approach to entertainment. It has some value there, but I'm much more interested in the vision post crash, as I keep talking about here.
Mm-hmm.
That's very important to get a grip on. So this is entertainment. This is for kids, and it's good that he's looking for a tree. It's all good stuff.
Mm-hmm. Okay, very good. So what is eco-alchemy?
Eco-alchemy, this is my attempt to transform or transmutate sort of the false religious spirituality going around the planet and put something else in place. When I talk about alchemy, I talk about a spirit, the spirit, and I have different levers or different places that alchemy works. I'll just read the list from the smallest transaction to the biggest. I have imaginative alchemy, eco-alchemy, shamanic alchemy, sound or sonic alchemy, digital alchemy, community alchemy, and finally, on an earth scale, earth alchemy. Alchemy was described to me by one scholar as being more important in the process of the change or the transmutation, not the end result. So I've always tried to keep that in mind when I'm writing new mythologies, that it's the process of learning or the journey, as Campbell would say,
mm-hmm.
not necessarily where you end up. So I've introduced these alchemies in my work as a reaction to just the empty sort of Judeo-Christian spirit world. We need something else, so I invented it.
Okay. Well, everybody has to fill a void somewhere. That's what we're all here to do something. Some little Dutch boy in all of us with a finger in the dike on this global need. So Joseph Campbell defined a myth as a hero, a journey, and an initiation. And alchemy, as I hear you using it, traditionally it was the process or the experimentation of turning lead or some base substance into gold. But we commonly use alchemy when we talk about the transformation or as well as transmutation of, as you're talking about, a transmutation of a culture as well as a transformation within values and within the individual psyche. Is that correct?
Yes, that's perfect. That's okay. Exactly what I want you to take away.
Okay, great. Okay. Proves I'm paying attention.
Very much so.
Thank you. So I was able to watch your Mythic Map video, a tool for creating cultures, and it's on your myth website.
Yes, open source, right?
Say it again, please.
Open Myth Source.
Source, website. Yes. Yes. It was very intriguing because, and I urge people to watch it because you were hosting a workshop in which people were kind of brainstorming myths. I found it very interesting to hear what they were coming up with. And is the rationale that we need new myths to convey new values?
Yes. In fact, that workshop had a lot to do with symbology,
mm-hmm.
new symbols, new alchemy, new transformations. Can get us to a new myth, new mythic base. My premise has always been, for a couple of years anyway, is that the classic myths are kind of faded out, not sparking us anymore. So if we take some of the core principles of myth from Campbell, Jung, and recharge them with new symbols and new alchemy, and new journeys, we should be able to come up with new stories that guide us into the new age. And that's what I'm up to.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So how would you define heroism in these new myths?
Heroism. Well, I would say that the hero is not interested in self-fulfillment as much as this person is interested in community building.
Mm-hmm.
This person in my stories isn't a capitalist, is more of a barter, sharer in archetype. So a hero, doesn't stop taking the journey, but that person reports back along the journey. And this is a primary example of that today with your show. I'm honored to be reporting back to whoever's listening, on my journey. And hopefully it'll ring some bells.
Great. Great. So, one of the things that's very exciting, speaking of, new myths and so forth, Starhawk is producing a movie of a novel she wrote quite some time ago called The Fifth Sacred Thing. And, that is a post apocalyptic story of survival, and so that's very much along the lines of what you're talking about, right?
Yes, and I didn't talk to her about that. So the synergy of the paradox is really important. Suddenly, mm-hmm. I have another connection to this woman who has been so influential in my development. That's really
mm-hmm.
cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. So you have a book published, an ebook. Can you tell us about that?
Sure. Actually, I have four.
Four published ebooks. Sorry.
Yeah, I have a series of three. These are also on openmythsource.com. One is the collection of stories and interviews and images from the early days with a fellow named David Metcalf. And then the most recent one is the one I'm sort of hawking now. It's called Tribes, and it's 15 illustrated new myths for the permaculture age. That's the sort of source document that I'm alluding to here today. That's mm-hmm. where all the new myths and new stories are.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's the deal.
That's exciting. How's it selling?
I'm giving it away. I have to charge people for it.
Cool.
So
cool.
Yeah, I'm trying to be good to my values.
Right. Right. So do you have any other pet projects that are kind of in the works right now?
Well, I do have a new myth number 18. Which talks about a couple of beautiful lesbian lovers who live in a mud house alongside the river. I guess you could call them a couple of beavers, but maybe we shouldn't go there. And that's a new jaunt for me because I don't really write love stories, but I'm going to give it a shot. And I'm also working on the other side of my brain with Permaculture Exchange. And that is a group of permaculturists from interns to experts. And we're looking for projects for people. I'm trying to put people to work with permacultural values. And that's slowly evolving. We have about 73 members now. So we're looking for projects, and that's the next step.
Mm-hmm. And are these paid jobs? People that...
Mm-hmm.
Yay.
Yeah, they're going to be paid. And there's also an incubator, which will allow folks to get into a process of discovery for free mm-hmm. to get their idea fleshed out so we can then help them make money with it later.
Nice. Nice.
So that's Permaculture Exchange.
Yeah, that is really exciting. Okay.
Thanks.
Well, tell me a little bit. You have a class, an ongoing class I mentioned, and can you tell me a little bit about that? How long that goes, and who's,
yes, ma'am.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's sacredpermaculture.net. That was sort of a reaction to a lot of the flack I was getting from the scientists and the soil diggers, I call them, in the permaculture company. Those are the folks who are just interested in growing things and the soil and the chemistry and not the spirituality. So I put this class together to help permaculturists understand better the spiritual world and their sacred connection to it. It's a mm-hmm. self-taught, basically, class. It has a survey. It does a couple of things quickly. It's just sort of a lens that I want to bring people through to give them more awareness of the sacred mm-hmm. in nature.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Well, we will be right back. You're listening to Spiritually Speaking, Ancient Wisdom for Modern Needs, and I'm Lady Red Hawk. If you have your questions, give us a call, 1-866-472-5795, or email me at info@susiepeltier.com.
This is the Voice America Seventh Wave Channel.
Susie Peltier, Lady Red Hawk, offers private sessions of massage therapy, hypnotherapy, spiritual consultations, Reiki sessions, and trainings in San Francisco, California. She is available for in-person lectures as well as webcasts on a variety of topics such as stress management, holism, motivational speaking, and developing personal spirituality. Susie can also personalize a healing session or a spiritual consultation for you through Skype or by phone using hypnotherapy and distance sessions of Reiki. Susie is a reverend with the Universal Life Church and a third-degree Wiccan priestess performing interfaith pastoral duties such as hospice and family counseling, in addition to a variety of personalized rites such as weddings, house clearings, and memorials. Susie is currently taking applications for students in Wicca and offers circle trainings as well as priest and priestess initiation study programs. To find out more about Susie as a healer, teacher, and priestess, visit her website, www.susiepeltier.com. Email her at info@susiepeltier.com or visit the Facebook page to find out more about Taoist Wicca.
Be visionary. This is the Voice America Seventh Wave Channel.
You are listening to Spiritually Speaking, Ancient Wisdom for Modern Needs with Lady Red Hawk. We would love to hear from you. If you have a question or comment about this week's program, please call 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. You may also send an email to info@susiepeltier.com. Now, back to Spiritually Speaking.
Welcome back. I'm Lady Red Hawk, and I'm here with Willie Paul. We're talking about permaculture and eco-alchemy. Also wanted to suggest, if you're liking the show, go to www.facebook.com/spiritualseekersradio. Like me there and check out our online store for some goodies. You can also like me at the Taoist Wicca Facebook page and tweet at me at Spirit Seek Radio. Willie, let me take you back to a couple of these alchemies, beginning with sound alchemy. Could you talk a little bit more about what that is?
Yes. In fact, I have, 12 or so sound alchemy studies as YouTube videos. And what I'm trying to do with those studies is find or create sounds and make some sort of connection to an idea in my head or a vision or a fear, and try to put this sort of collage together with some sort of video overlay. What I said before really, really pertains to this process. It's not really the end result as much as the process of putting the stuff together and choosing the sounds that I found rewarding. And all those sound alchemy studies are at Willie Paul video on YouTube. So I just want to challenge people to understand that alchemy is useful in all types of situations. If you're writing a story or making music, or you're sitting down to talk to your parents at a dinner table, this is a possible, you know, transforming medium. It's a useful thing to ponder and to engineer.
So when I hear you say create sounds that evoke emotion, I kind of think about that the doink sound that the Law and Order shows have, that automatically it evokes the immediate kind of feel and tone and timbre of the show. You don't even have to have watched the show, that just that da-doink kind of takes you automatically either in the mood or out of it, one or the other, but depending upon whether you like the show. But nevertheless, is that an example of how sound can become a hypno stimuli?
Yeah, in fact, I listen to that sound a lot. I watched that TV show. It's funny that you mentioned that. Yeah, it's changing some sort of sound pattern into a visual, because you're going to go watch the TV.
Right.
It's Babylonian at this point, because we just understand what it means. But yeah, that's interesting. That's an interesting sound. It does have meaning to you.
Yes.
That's very good.
And it's been programmed to have meaning. Very, very successful spin-offs and all of this just based on a simple kind of two-note resonance to evoke a whole storyline and a whole set of characters that you like or dislike.
Yeah, but I guess it speaks to our attention span, because it works with only two notes. Right?
Yeah. Well, I have a theory about that.
Oh.
You know, as a body worker, I actually think that one of the things that's happening with so much media and available everywhere, that when you watch TV, it was bad enough when it was just TV, but now you have pop-ups on your laptop and all kinds of things that really train us out of the ability to concentrate for very long, because, you know, 7 minutes most, and then there's another commercial that takes you completely off point, then 30 seconds and you're off to another point, 30 seconds and off to another point, and then you're back to the main show. Right. And asked to pick up the thread of that thinking. And there's been some interesting brain studies that are making a good case for the fact that multitasking is not as efficient as focused effort in a particular arena. And yet more and more of our culture seems to be valuing the multitasking. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a very, very interesting, but I think it's contributing this rapid cut and lack of concentration is, I think, contributing to the skyrocketing ADD statistics, attention deficit disorder problems.
That's interesting.
I
can see that.
So you mentioned some other kinds of alchemies. One is, you touched upon it very briefly, as in just a communication at the dinner table with your parents. Give me an illustration of how this would work for that scenario.
Well, alchemy is also known as transmutation. At least I refer to it as a transmutational process. And your folks are in their own zone, their own world. They came from their own jobs, perhaps. You have to figure out where this conversation will be appropriate. If you have an agenda, you have to get to that. You may be asking for the car for the evening or something.
Mm-hmm.
So using an imaginative alchemy process, you might calm your father down, ask him how his day was, and gently transform his you know, beleaguered brain into a, into a more calm state where you can ask for those keys. So you have to figure out, it's sort of a proactive approach, I know.
So in a sense, this goes back to an earlier conversation I had with one of the priests of my circle where we were talking about the power of intention.
Mm-hmm.
That you can set an intention and then you kind of wait and actually, in some cases, participate in switching the resonance or getting other people in resonance with you so that the changes can be made organically. So you're not forcing the question and he's not forcing the answer.
Perfect.
You're kind of finding a mutual ground, and it starts with the calm intention to ask him from a civilized place and give him permission to say no as well as yes.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that imaginative alchemy is an intentional process. That's very, very good.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Great. So you mentioned some other sound, cultural alchemy, just a whole bunch of others you rattled off too quickly for me to take note of. You want to describe one or two more of those?
Well, I want to pitch a couple of videos that you can find off of planetshifter.com. And those will illuminate some alchemic processes. One video is number 2. It's called The Inner and Outer System of the Sacred. I did this quite a while ago. I drew a triangle, and then I put permaculture mythology and the sacred around the triangle. And I'm talking there about the symbols and the synergies between those three forces. If somebody wants to sort of jump in to look at what I'm talking about, what my work looks like, that would be a primary video to look at. And then there's a number 24 in the list is called The Sacred Alchemy and Symbols for the Permaculture Transition. This has been well received. This is a video I did in Oakland, walked through an Oakland City garden and talked about permaculture concepts and symbols. That would also be a good introduction to this transition that I'm talking about today. So I would just give those two items out. Invitations.
Tell me the website, the web address again.
Oh, well, you can find this video, the video link off of planetshifter.com.
Okay.
That's the top right. You can see my little face, and it says Willie's videos on it.
Okay, very good.
Cartoons for the transition.
Uh-huh. Wonderful. So we're going to be right back. Thank you all for making this a top-ranked show. And we have some great opportunities for advertisers or for guest spots, so please contact me at info@susiepeltier.com. If you have a question for Willie, please get in on it during this break. It's 1-866-472-5795. We'll be right back.
The Seventh Wave Channel on the Voice America Network.
Susie Peltier, Lady Red Hawk, offers private sessions of massage therapy, hypnotherapy, spiritual consultations, Reiki sessions, and trainings in San Francisco, California. She is available for in-person lectures as well as webcasts on a variety of topics such as stress management, holism, motivational speaking, and developing personal spirituality. Susie can also personalize a healing session or a spiritual consultation for you through Skype or by phone using hypnotherapy and distance sessions of Reiki. Susie is a reverend with the Universal Life Church and a third-degree Wiccan priestess performing interfaith pastoral duties such as hospice and family counseling, in addition to a variety of personalized rites such as weddings, house clearings, and memorials. Susie is currently taking applications for students in Wicca and offers circle trainings as well as priest and priestess initiation study programs. To find out more about Susie as a healer, teacher, and priestess, visit her website, www.susiepeltier.com. Email her at info@susiepeltier.com or visit the Facebook page to find out more about Taoist Wicca.
Invite meaning and inspiration to your life. This is the Voice America Seventh Wave Channel.
You are listening to Spiritually Speaking, Ancient Wisdom for Modern Needs with Lady Red Hawk. We would love to hear from you. If you have a question or comment about this week's program, please call 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. You may also send an email to info@susiepeltier.com. Now, back to Spiritually Speaking.
Hi, I am Lady Red Hawk, and I am here with my guest, Willie Paul. We are talking about permaculture and sustainability. And welcome back, everybody. And Willie, it strikes me that everybody who has a little patch of garden should be raising some food in that garden as a basic statement of the values of sustainability, but also this is a show about pagan ideas being essential for today. And it strikes me that what you're saying is with an impending collapse, we have to begin to think in terms of each action we do, especially when it comes to Mother Earth, even raising that little patch of garden is a sacred act, if I am following your drift. Is that true?
It is. I think my message would be to look for a community garden instead of a small patch in the backyard. And the added benefit of that strategy, you know, kind of unfolds when you can meet your neighbors, share the labor, and share the fruits of that garden. I think that's a lot better strategy than a couple of steaks of tomatoes in the backyard.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what a permaculturist would do, is sort of integrate and find ways to combine and to create a better scale to get more yield. And yield in this case is friendship and fruits and vegetables.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So when we kind of look at how the ancients, like the Native American Indians, I think it was Chief Seattle that wrote it to President Washington and told him that what we do to the earth, we do to ourselves. And it seems that's true more than ever, because mm-hmm. the constant rape of the goddess of earth, of natural resources, of the things that sustain and enrich us, can't continue. It almost seems like it's the slaughter of the buffalo from the trains on steroids, because we've got, you know, wholesale, you know, chopping of rainforests and diminishing ice caps and ecological disasters all over the place. If we're was permaculture born out of necessity, or do you agree with Starhawk that it's always kind of been a pagan value, and that what we're doing is updating that value because it's relevant?
Well, I can't speak towards Wicca or paganism. I don't have any knowledge or don't practice those things.
Mm-hmm.
It does strike me, though, that while Australians sort of invented permaculture about 25, 30 years ago out of necessity to their, you know, barren landscape and lack of water, et cetera, it does now strike me as an opportunity to combine the spirituality of Wicca with the pragmatism of permaculture. And I said that at the start of the show, that's the third definition. That's the one we should adopt, I believe. So that makes sense to me. That's what we need to get over the hump and into the next era.
Mm-hmm. Do you happen to know how easily or readily they managed to make that change in Australia?
Well, it's still going on, but it's quite popular there. And
mm-hmm.
they are the granddaddies of permaculture. They're still dictating and evolving the science of it. However, mm-hmm. the Australian permaculture crowd is largely non-spiritual in bent. So in that sense, they're kind of backward, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Well, it might be kind of said that if you neuter it down a little bit, then you can sell it more. You know, there's kind of the vanilla version that if we were out and out call it a pagan value, people would sneeze at it and want to immediately get out the vacuum cleaner. Whereas if we just said, listen, kids, it's practical. If we're stewards of the earth, even if we have dominion over the earth, as is thought of in Christianity, then we still have to preserve it for future generations. It sounds like it's kind of a no-brainer to package it from a vanilla standpoint.
Yes, but in terms of the Lorax that you mentioned, the movie,
mm-hmm.
I wonder how many of those specific values would be elicited in that script. And also, I would hasten to add that we don't have a whole lot of time left.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to make these changes now. So, you know, the Lorax is looking for a tree, but, you know, our parents are looking to move out of their house because they just lost it from foreclosure and mm-hmm. et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's all relatively speaking here, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Some very scary times ahead if we're not thinking ahead with it.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Very good. Well, thank you so much for coming. I really have enjoyed our conversation. I feel like I've learned a lot and look forward to another opportunity with you. If you want to read the Willie's interview with Starhawk, it is Community Permaculture and the Sacred Seeds. It's on openmythsource.com. And Willie, how can people reach you?
The best way is to email me, and that would be williepaul1@gmail.com.
Okay.
Willie is spelled WILLIPAUL1@gmail.com.
Okay, great. And misplaced my note here. Anyway, I want to thank all of you for coming and for listening. And I'm going to ask you to kind of put your actions to this, put your shoulder to the grindstone. What he's suggesting, what Willie's been suggesting today, is not so out of reach if we collectively move together on it. And Starhawk's made it a very high priority in her spiritual approach to witchcraft, and I think we all have something to learn from that, that if we destroy Mother Earth, then we're destroying ourselves, just as Chief Seattle pointed out. So I remind you that you can find out more about the show or support the show on Spiritual Seekers Radio on Facebook. You can also like my Taoist Wicca Facebook page. And Spirit Seek Radio is the Twitter account. So if come on by, say hello. And my next show is going to be on how to the ABCs of creating beautiful altars and powerful rituals. So it's going to be a great show to kind of explore the basics. And if you're thinking about getting some friends together and running the experiment of creating a ritual circle, then by all means, this next show is going to be it. Thank you so much for coming, Willie. I really, really appreciate it. It's been
great fun. Thank you, Susie. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye. And merry meet, merry part, merry meet again. To all of you, the magic is in you. So I'll look forward to hearing you next week. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much for tuning in this week to Spiritually Speaking, Ancient Wisdom for Modern Needs. Please join Susie Peltier again next Monday afternoon at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, 2 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America's Seventh Wave channel. Have a wonderful week.